Hey, car guys and car gals, welcome back to the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. We are excited and, man, we are crazy caffeinated, ready to have a cup of coffee and a conversation with a couple of guys that really know what's going down in the back scenes. So before we get started, once again, this is Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
This is Fred Lenartz, the subprime hero.
And we got a couple of great guests that you need to see, you need to hear from, and you need to learn from. But before we do that, check this out. Whoa! Well,
that's right.
It's time to brew, everybody. Car guys, car gals, we have some really special guests that are with us today, and I am so excited to get this brew of new connections out to you. Fred, what is it that I'm so excited about? Because I'll talk forever, as we all know, about how excited I am about who it is that we have. What, I mean, tell me about these guys a little bit. Get everybody ready. Get everybody.
Wow. Well, we have two guys that have some really awesome news tonight. They got some late-breaking news, and we'll talk about that some more later. But they, too, have come up in the game in a completely different way than most of us who watch the show, which is really cool. So they have a unique view on the car business. And their unique view actually is mind-blowing, and I think that you guys can really get something from this. So if you're tuning in and you're listening to this, get ready to hear some stuff that you're probably not used to hearing on our show, and I think that you're going to really enjoy that. These two guys, they come from two completely different worlds. They ended up merging into one in graduate school.
Bam!
Out in Stanford, so that's really awesome. In the story, we're going to go through some more about it, but you guys are going to be blown away. What I'm excited about is what they've done with their careers and what they're currently doing right now and what they're going to be doing in the future. So I'm not going to spill too many beans because I'm super excited and I really want to get into this five-liner and just start asking these questions. And
so welcome, Chris and Nikki, to the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. You guys excited?
Yeah, so excited.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
You guys have your coffee ready?
Yeah. Your mug's already in.
Water. A bit of water tonight.
Heck yeah. Well, they are joining us from two different parts of the country as well. Chris is down, well, way over in the – you are out there at – are you
in the Bay Area? Yeah.
Or are you
south of San Francisco.
Okay, you are really out there, like Silicon Valley, San Francisco – far, far away from our lands. Yeah, and right. Looks like Nikki jumped on a plane and he went to where it's a little crispy out.
A little hot. Yeah,
my apartment's in San Francisco, but I went to Phoenix. Thought I can escape quarantine and now I'm locked down.
Now you're protecting yourself. Phoenix.
Yeah, lock those doors. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on in the world. Obviously everybody knows we've had the COVID-19 happen, and then currently we're having the protests and the rioting going across the country, sweeping across the country right now. Touchy subject. I don't want to get too deep into that, but it's definitely going on, and it's so it can definitely change your life or make you adjust what's going on in your current plans. So these two guys, they came out to us and they were like, hey, let's do a podcast together because we have some great stuff we want to share. So I'm excited to do this. This is actually
a different world, folks. The other side of the conversation. Car guys, car gals, it's totally the other side. They're from Carvana.
No, so I had a conversation earlier. I was on this thing called the Think Tank, and I mentioned that I was going to be interviewing you guys tonight. And they were like, we're not going to listen to that one. No. they're joking around, of course, because everybody, as you know, the average car guy out there has a lot of hate for that company that you guys are with, right? So that being said, we're going to talk about that some too, and talk about why that is such an awesome. What, Lou? Lou's getting me.
It's just making me think.
It's making him think.
See, even with the things that are going on in our times right now, there are people that are digging in their heels and not wanting to have conversations with people that they don't know and don't understand yet. Yeah. And whether it's a race war, or it's an actual industry competition war, it's imperative that we have some of the conversations about what it is that we don't know about, because it's all real humans and real people on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
So with that, I am so honored to be able to make the connection because, man, we are car guys, right? And we definitely want to know more about what we don't know, especially from some smart guys that know a whole lot about what we don't know on the backside of how things end up right in front of us and convenient.
Well,
and I'm excited.
I am too. It all starts with the story of how they got into the idea of getting into this type of business.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear more about that story.
So
folks,
let's get
into it.
Five line of going. Yeah, but before we do that, first things first, car guys and car gals.
Y'all remember
we
this.
We need to make sure to spread this message everywhere we go. And it's 3 F's. You know them. On three, everybody, let's go ahead and help me out. We are going to forgive, focus, fly. Let's spread the message. On three. One, two, three. Forgive. Focus. Fly.
That's how we get started.
How we do?
Perfect, man. That was awesome. So, you know, we have two guests here today. So with the five liner, I'm going to ask each guest five questions like we always do. The first question is always the same question. It's going to be your why. So you all have a couple seconds here to think about what your why is. I know you already know what it is, what your purpose is, what drives you every single day. And then there's going to be a follow-up of four other questions. And these questions are going to be random questions. They're going to be different. All right. So, and then Lou's going to hit you guys with the fifth question. So I'm real excited to get into this. I'm going to start with Chris Coleman. Chris, my friend, you've done a lot of education in your life. You've come up with some great ideas. And I think that I want to talk to you about your why. So what drives you? What made you say, I'm going to start doing this type of stuff instead of just being that guy who just stays at home and does nothing? You know what I mean? What makes you say, I'm going to be something?
Sure. You know, for me, it's about sort of the intersection of learning and helping people. And so for me, I always want to be, I'm a super curious person. And so I always want to understand the why to one level deeper. And so being able to, I don't want to be in a role or spend my life sort of just taking things at face value, but always questioning and understanding how deep the rabbit hole goes. And interesting enough, as you learn more, you always learn that there's more to learn than you thought there was to learn too. So it only ever gets deeper. And then two, I like where that intersects with where there's actually ways to help people out as a result of these discoveries. So like rather than just researching things that I find intrinsically interesting, it's also interesting if these things also help other people. And so those are the knowledge paths and those are the advancements that I think are really interesting.
Yeah, and that's great points there. And that's a very good way of thinking because you're using with the skills that you have with what you can help people with. So you like serving people, a servant attitude, like, hey, I want to help people, but I'm going to use what I have with my skills and make it really wonderful for people to be able to grow and learn from. And then you're learning from that too. I think that's really neat.
And it's also making sure that you're actually constantly learning, having the mindset at heart, and a mind that's constantly asking why. Well, why does that
keep growing?
Do that way? Why does that come together that way? Why does that even grow? Why does that even make sense? You know what I mean? Breaking down those things is how incredible inventions, philosophies, ways of life, cultures get cracked open by the person that is constantly knocking at the door with the, but why?
Yeah, but why? Why can't we make it easier by doing it this way, right? You know, and that's where those ideas come from. And I think that's awesome. So
let's pass it up over.
Let's pass the mic to
this way.
Nikki Hendrickson. So
here we go.
I know you're originally from overseas, over in Germany, man. Exactly. And so I know that you've been all over the world with your education, with what you've done, and the ideas that you've come up with are just probably, you know, brought from so many places. What is your why? What drives you? What keeps you going?
Yeah. So I'm originally from Germany, as you can tell by my accent. I used to be an athlete, actually. So I used to play on the German golf national team. And what motivated me back then is I just wanted to be really good in something while being playing incredibly fairly. Like, it was very important for me to compete, have fun competing, and play really, really fair. And so at some point I decided that I didn't want my career to be golf for the rest of my life, but I went to college, moved to the US, went to business school in Stanford where I met Chris. And then I realized that I've gotten incredibly lucky that my parents helped me with education and pushed me in the right direction. And then after graduating from Stanford, obviously I had somewhat of a safety net. So instead of choosing the path to go to a company and just work for that company for the rest of my life, I felt like there's an opportunity to have a lot of impact by starting a company. And so Chris and I started talking about what areas are areas that we feel like don't have the best customer experience quite yet. And so we ended up in the car space. I had no idea about cars. Chris is a huge car enthusiast. You should ask him what his first car was in a second. But yeah, the reason I got into the car space was because I felt like there's room for improvement. It stagnated in terms of development for a long time, and I wanted to be impactful and make a difference and be remembered for something.
Wow. Yes. It's legacy, you know, it's being able to leave something, your mark on this planet, your footprint somewhere, you know, and it's people, sometimes people could think of that as like, oh, you're, you know, maybe you're just, you think of yourself too much, but you should think of yourself too much. You should always understand that you're worth what your best version of yourself could be something so amazing. Right. And if you don't ever give yourself that opportunity to explore that, you know, to be that person, then you really are underachieving so much. So to be able to overachieve and try to overachieve and constantly look for something to make perfection, like you talk about with golf, there's rules to that, you know. And when you're playing, I love golf, and I play. I'm not a mulligan guy. I don't care how bad my score is. I can't stand. I don't even like when people move the ball around on the court. I'm like, stop! What are you doing? That's a stroke, right? You know, I'm real picky. I play by the rules, you know. But you always try to find the best way to play within the rules, and then make things better, you know, and be good at that, and be able to use those rules and that process. And just achieve there. And that's awesome. And then having those young skills, like you said, starting off, I know you played soccer in the past. We've talked before. Yeah. And, or you would call football over there. And then you got an injury. Is that right? And then
you're right. I used to call it football, but now I call it soccer. I've been here for too long. I used to play soccer until I was 10. And then I broke my leg skiing. And then I wasn't allowed to play soccer for half a year. That's how I got into playing golf.
Man.
So you said something really interesting. You said it's really important to play by the rules. I don't think necessarily the opposite is cheating, but I think playing by the rules means doing the right thing at any given time. Mm-hmm. And if you do the right thing at any given time, this may hurt you in the very, 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 very short term, but it like life pays back. Like you get it back long term, because people start talking about you. They talk about your integrity. And that's true for you as a person as well as your business. And the biggest businesses are built because of word of mouth, not because you spend a lot of on marketing. And I think the same is true for the car space. The better you treat your customers, the more they will refer more customers, and then your business grows organically. I think you know this better than us, actually.
No, you know it perfectly, you know, and that you nailed it. That's called being a human being. You know, when you're a human and you have integrity, and that's when I talk about core values, that's my number one core value, always has been. And being able to say that I always do it the right way, and you don't have to waver, you don't have to worry about, you know, following up a lie. You know, someone asks you a question, you always can just say things honestly, because you know whatever you said has always been what you said. Your word is your bond. And that's so key. And you're right. You may at first struggle a little bit because of that. But as time goes by, and as you keep doing it consistently, and you're always that person, people notice. And having that integrity is, to me, the number one thing to have in anything you do, whether it's in business, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's with your friendships, it's with all that. Integrity is huge. So, yeah,
and that's
great.
Having integrity and plugging that into the lifestyle that you both have had. I mean, we're not talking about making it into just any school. These guys met at Stanford, right?
And graduate school, Stanford.
And he's also talking about coming from different disciplines of sport, right? I mean, you have to have discipline to be able to compete the way that he does. Some people have a natural knack, right? And talent will get us so far, but hard work and discipline is what generally starts to separate us from the pack. And that's having integrity in that hard work and discipline. It's one thing when the camera's on and when the crowd is watching,
right?
But when the gym has nobody else in it, or the course has nobody else watching you, and you're actually putting in the work constantly, because nobody's saying that you haven't done enough, right? Nobody's saying that you haven't done enough, but you know inside of yourself whether you have more to give. And having that kind of a discipline about that kind of integrity is definitely what separates people from those that kind of go along with the flow with the herd, or actually come out with new light and new ways to create avenues of solutions for people. And that's why these gentlemen are on the show today, because they are people that brew solutions where it is that
Absolutely.
They are. And as we continue going through this, you understand, we've had some great conversation. Some conversation has been very fun and hard for us to stop for a moment to get going into actually recording, because these guys are very, very filled with knowledge. I don't even know if I said that smart enough, you know, but they know so much, and it's awesome to have the opportunity for us to kind of glean from that, because
I'm a sponge.
Generally inside of our sphere, right, in the car guy world, we're the ones that know it all.
Yes,
I know everything.
Yeah, I feel like
I've been in the business 2 years.
You know, with an IT degree for car business. You know
what I mean?
So I feel like in my lane, I feel like there's not many people who can hang. You know, I'm sure you guys feel the same way. You know, that's something that's you build and you earn as you do things the right way with integrity. So on to the next question, guys. I'm going to get to that. The second question I'm going to hit you with is something different. I haven't asked anybody this. I'm going to assume, because you guys are educated and I love reading books, what is a book that you would recommend? And I'm going to go with Chris. Chris, what is a book that you would recommend right now? I'm assuming you do read. So what is a book that you would recommend to somebody that's looking for a little edge in just in life to get better at what they're doing, maybe to get motivated?
You know what? So I'm going to recommend an oddball book that I really like, and I love history. I think I know what book Nikki's going to recommend, so I'm not going to steal that thunder.
Okay.
But there's a book called called Flyboys, actually, which is really good, about World War II pilots, and particularly it's about how it focuses a lot on this resilience within when pilots were captured as Japanese POWs. And so I just think it's a great story of resilience, and then I think it's a great story of just persistence. And then I think it's a great story of also just, being a little bit altruistic and doing what you need to do for your country at the right time.
Oh man.
And so it draws on a lot of very tough historical tales. And also when you look at the stats of what some of these pilots were asked to do, it seems like an impossible mission, and yet everybody still sort of got up every day and did it. And so I think it's a really great telling there.
Man, I love that. Yeah, it's a good story. It's also historic. It's also got a lot of meaning in there and a lot of symbolism to help you figure out, hey, even things that seem impossible are possible once you try them. You have to make it happen sometimes.
And over a long enough time span. I think that's the other thing that people – like, that's the other thing we learn in our business too. Like, all of these things, all of these big, meaningful objectives, they're not achieved in one mission or one day or by one person. It's a collective audience, and it takes a long time.
Yes. Man, great, great, great. I love that tip.
That hasn't been accomplished, that has been deemed as impossible, right? It takes a mindset of people to say, I'm not afraid to fail, and we will give our life to find out if our dream is actually part of the solution. And that's the great thing about many people of all races, of all nations, of all countries. You've had those people that have stepped up and told the line to represent something bigger than them, that we read stories about now to apply to what we do in business or to apply what we do in relationships. Those are key stories. But I love the history when you know this really happened. Read this. This happened. You know what I mean? This is not make believe.
This is true. You know, and it's what helped build the world in a sense. You know, whether it's you're a U.S. citizen or you're somewhere else, war especially in those days really, well, they still do. They build the world and they make the world what they are now. Those experiences there, those stories are very, they hit the heart and they definitely make you think about things, because you should be thankful for what they did for you, you know, and that's for sure. Not to get too deep into that part, but no, it's great. I can't wait to read the book, and I'm going to read that book really soon. I'm probably going to go pick it up tonight as soon as we get off on Amazon and just order that thing.
Nice.
I've been getting into a reading kick lately. It's been wonderful. And I definitely love books like that inspire me. So Nikki, my man.
Yeah, no, I'm curious, Chris, what's the book that you think I'm picking?
Tell us about the difference.
That is a good book. Do you know that?
I do know the Don't Split the Difference. Isn't that by the, I can't think of his name, but he was an FBI interrogator.
FBI, that's awesome. Exactly,
yep. I haven't read the book, but I was suggested that book, and I need to check that out. Actually, by one of my really good friends, Matt Damos, he read the book and loved it.
It's a really good book, too.
Yeah.
The reason, so you're right, Chris, that's a book I could have mentioned. the reason I like it is, I'm from Germany originally. Germans don't negotiate a lot. Like, we are somewhat transactional and dry when we interact with each other when it comes to business. And so I'm not used to an environment where people negotiate a lot. And then I came to the US and I was surprised how people always ask for, can I get a discount? And people, all the products are marketed based on, hey, here's a discount today. And when you go to the, when you go car shopping, people ask for discounts all the time. And so I needed to culturally adjust to that. And then not only needed, did I need to figure out how to address some or have a conversation with somebody who tried to negotiate with me, but even I needed to then adjust and start negotiating where people clearly negotiate it. And so what this book does, it does a really, really good job in giving you tools, like real tools, tangible tools, not very difficult to use to get in a negotiation, for example, get the other person to negotiate with him or herself. So you don't have to do the part that's awkward. And so I think it's a good tool, very good tool. I actually would have mentioned a different book though. There's one book that I'm listening to right now. I like audiobooks, and that's called Competing Against Luck. And it's a theory around innovation. So how are new businesses being built? Highly recommended. It's a little abstract in the beginning, and it tells you that like products and services are not like products and services as we know it, but you should think about it. What does that product or the service, what type of job does it do for you? Mm-hmm. Why would you hire, for example, a car? Some people hire a car because they need to go to work. Others hire a car because they want to show off. For them, it's really important that they have a fancy car. Mm-hmm. Others hire a car because they need to visit friends or want to go on holidays or vacation. And so once you understand what people hire these products for, you understand how you not need to market the product, what language you need to use, what message you need to use, and what the key features of the products need to be. So I'm not fully through the book quite yet, but I'm really intrigued. Every morning when I go running, I listen to yet another chapter and really enjoy it.
Is that Christensen who writes that?
Yeah, Blake Christensen.
I remember him giving a speech on for what do I hire a banana for?
What a way to think, though. It's powerful. I actually, just the thought of that makes me start my mind start wondering. You know, I'm like, whoa, okay, because I do have a lot of theories on, like, you know, I don't really write down these theories. I probably should, because I probably could come up with some pretty good car sales books. But I have a lot of thoughts when I'm working deals, when I'm talking to people, because I don't believe that. You know, like when I'm selling a vehicle to somebody, solving their transportation problem, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Right. You're using the right language.
So I definitely don't feel like, I don't feel like that stereotypical 80s, you know, guy with the tie and the short sleeve shirt, you know, that type of sales. I feel like a human being who's really servicing and helping people and changing their lives in a way, you know, because this buying a car is very emotional. It's, you know, they want to make sure they get a good deal. Is it the lowest price possible? Is it this? Am I getting good financing? You know, you all know. And it's such a big deal to people. So when you can look at it in a different angle and really realize that, hey, this is what's going on, and then be able to express that to the client, it changes everything. It really does. Yep. It's a psychology thing, and it's really good. It's when they feel like you're helping them instead of trying to make money on them or, you know, whatever, it's a different thing. You know, and of course, money is not a profit is not a bad word. I tell that to my clients all the time. It's not a bad word. We all make profit. McDonald's, Walmart, everybody makes tons of profit. Yeah. You know, you don't go there and ask them to discount it thousands. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, it's a mindset. So once you coach them up and you get them feeling that, and they feel that from you, and you give the integrity thing comes into play. When you're always that way, it's just easy to do it that way. So.
Yeah. In this business, our margin for profit is so small compared to the majority of other major industries, right? We have one of the most important commodities to the functionality of the workforce, right?
Right.
The horse that gets you there, right? And there's very little markup inside of our world, but man, believe you me, if you're on the other side and you're the one spending the money, you think it's huge. You think it's massive. Right. and the difference in cultures are all over the place in how people look at us. Now, here in the U.S., the quintessential salesy person, the one with the pitch, is the one with the funny blazer or the weird button up or the, you know, you are that car guy. So even sitting today talking to a college with my son, and they spoke about used car salesmen. You know, here comes here we get in the kid, I'm like, hey, so that's us right here. And so my, you know, I put us on mute, and I'm standing in the middle of the the living room while my son's sitting there watching and the coach is still going on and he's doing his thing and he's talking. And I'm like, guys, you know, and I immediately went to something that seemed like a pushy type of sales culture. And I was like, we're not like the Bahama straw market. Okay. And because it is a completely different flow. Has anybody, you guys ever been to the Bahamas? You've been in a straw market down in
Oh, man, they don't stop hustling on those coins. You go there, they don't stop, man. They will be all up on. They'll put stuff in your
hand. We're not like,
hey,
buy this. No, like, there's so much that regulates us, right? And people generally, for the most part, are coming armed with this power piece, knowing half of what it is that you're doing already. And so that although that stigma is still there, the cultures are shifting in the way that we're actually beginning to interact and understand car sales, whether it's from the negotiation side to the no negotiation side. And everybody has their process. But yeah, cultures are completely different, and the used car world still has a heavy stigma on it as being the super salesy.
You hear it all the time, but you know, I like I say, I'm proud of what I do. You know, I definitely, I know because when I get to shake hands with people, or not right now, elbow bump with people when they're leaving, it's the best feeling in the world to see people tear up sometimes because they're leaving in a vehicle they didn't think we could help them get. It's, or they're, you know, they're just so ecstatic. Like, I can't believe they're signing paperwork, like freaking out, like, you know, so it's awesome. It makes me feel really good about what I do. And I've been doing it for almost 20 years. So to me, it's my life. You know, that's what I do. And I absolutely.
Lou, you said something interesting, Lou. You used the word commodity, like the workhorse, the horse that gets through the work. I think a key ingredient of being successful in the car space is to just understand it's a commodity. Like, you're selling basically the same product as the dealership, not very far away. And then I really like the way you think about selling what's much more than the car, selling the transportation solution. I think if you're thinking that way and you're open to listening to customers, what they really want, you will be much better equipped for the future than just the original version of the car business where you flip metal, basically. Does that make sense?
It completely makes sense. See, 100%. The way that our process generally works is we do handle stuff a little bit more on the front end of the customer, like a triage, where we're trying to determine where it is that they're actually trying to go. And sometimes we have to be real with ourselves, and we try to help build that rapport where we can get the customer real with themselves, that they don't know what they're doing. They really don't completely know what they're doing.
It's very
so
true.
We want to put the tools in front of them. And if they don't want to utilize the tools, great. I got this human right here that is going to help kind of guide you through this. And we do the best that we can to make sure that we line them up with a clear, expressed understanding of what it is that they want. Digging that out of a customer a lot of times is the hardest thing human to human. They may tell it to a computer more, right? They may go ahead and fill that stuff out because nobody is sitting there either judging them or having a talk about them. You know what I mean? But when we're actually trying to get them to where it is that they want to go with the tools that they have, whether financially, equity, experience-wise, right? We are trying to help them understand what they want. You know, sometimes, depending on what market you're in, you know, a person is saying, I need to tow this, and it has a this. Well, man, you're looking at a whole lot of truck, and you're about to spend 20 grand more than you need.
Yeah, not a 350 payment, sir.
Take it easy, man.
Right. You know, you're like, whoa. You got $20,000 in your pocket? What's going on?
So we need to right fit this a little bit, right? And so though everybody has a big dream when they're talking about their cars, and there's a lot of emotional attachment to spending that much money, for the most part, developing a system, whether it's digital or it's physical, that helps streamline a person to understand that at heart, we're just a human. You know, profit is going to be present, but people is always going to be the priority. Boom. So we want to help make sure that we get you where you want to go. But we have to have enough rapport first for you to trust me.
No doubt.
For you truly telling me where you want to go and how you're going to get there. And then we go with it accordingly. But I am completely with you. The transportation problem solving business is what we're in. We shifted into understanding that culture. And it took a lot of paradigm shifting in our own minds, right?
Yeah.
Just like what we're all going through right now. I believe that there is a full-fledged paradigm shift occurring in the automotive industry right now, in most industries, but especially the automotive one. And you guys are right there pioneering the way in making those connections. And man, I'm excited to just see where all of this develops.
Because I'm sure y'all's brains have been spinning around this whole time. You know, so much opportunity. You know, when there's a lot of downtime, as I call it, there's a lot of opportunity to grow or to just fade away inside, right?
So there is this really good quote, don't waste a good crisis. And it's true. Like, this is, like, unfortunately, this hit a lot of little businesses, small business very hard, but that also means there's a transition. Something, if I was running a used car dealership, I'd be excited to know that customers are now willing and looking to transact online. That just changes your economics a lot. You can work with technology. You can do Zooms. You can do podcasts. You don't need to spend the whole day as a sales guy waiting for customers to come in, but you can be really proactive in reaching out to customers through digital mediums. And customers are really, really willing to do it because the pandemic pushed that. Like, it's this inflection point that I think we all have been waiting for.
I agree.
And we didn't even know it, right? We didn't even know we were waiting for this, but we've been waiting for it. And it, right? And here it is.
And then it happened, you know, and embrace it. Embrace technology. Embrace the future because it's not going anywhere. It's coming very fast. And it's getting faster every year. These last 10 years of technology, as you guys know, wow, unbelievable. It's like you said, that curve went, whoop. Like, it was like, yeah, technology was doing it and then went wham. And I love it. Obviously I'm still trying to learn a lot about technology and I'm always open to learn because I think that if I'm going to be doing this for at least another 20 years or something like that, I need to be able to embrace that or I'm going to just fall apart and obviously go with the wayside of that. So I don't want to do that.
Well, one day you'll look back and it's not very far in the future and laugh about how you used to sell cars in 2020.
Yeah, I there's no doubt. I think we're all going to do that, you know. So let's get on to the next question. Our third question for you guys. So both of you guys founded a great company, Carlypso.
Carlypso.
All right. So
Carlypso. Yeah.
Carlypso. There you go. And that's
the company was great. The name, admittedly, not so great.
Right. But all in all, the company did some stuff for you guys. What drove you to make this company? What made you say, hey, let's come up with this?
I mean, I think for me, it was the intersection of a passion and an opportunity. And so, you know, I had always been a huge car nut, as Nikki told you. And so we were looking in the car space for somewhere where we thought there really was legitimate opportunity. And so when we started Carlypso, we said, look, there's got to be a more efficient way in terms of the supply chain to get cars to consumers. And we could potentially, you know, I think we're in a great position to be the ones who help people get cars cheaper by cutting out waste in the supply chain. And so we had sort of identified this opportunity and we thought that we were really well positioned to do it. And so that was the initial spark. And we, you know, we changed a lot as we went along saying, you know, where does that inefficiency actually exist? And are consumers ready to do what we actually need them to do to get rid of that inefficiency? Or is it there for other structural reasons? Cause you know, we started selling a car from an individual to another individual, realizes that, you know, well, theoretically that's super efficient. In practice, it wasn't at all. and so then we sort of migrated away from that and went direct from wholesale to consumer, saying, look, if nobody has to hold the car while it's depreciating and we don't have to transport it all these extra times to auction, and we can potentially get as far upstream as possible, then we can even reduce all the auction fees and sort of taking cars to and from and wondering if the dealer will buy it, then all that money can potentially go back to consumers.
That's a great concept.
I mean, the concept is beautiful. Obviously, it wasn't just a concept. It became something.
And all you car guys and car gals that are out there that just heard that, you're all saying this.
Well, yeah. Well,
that's a really good idea. Yeah, that's exactly, and it did, you know, and that obviously sparked something in with you guys, and it brought you into a business and a career that, you know, it was just like, wow, here it is. And this world is just such a huge world, the car business world. And I know there's a lot of different animals in here, and people, you know, from sharks to, you know, to puppies, you know, depending on which side you are on that when you sell cars, you know. But that being said, that is a great thing. I'm sure Nikki, now you started this with him. You guys are co-founded this together. You both went to school, met at Stanford. And so same thing for you. Obviously it was the same driven, but you weren't coming from a car world where you love cars like he did. What made you say, I want to do this with Chris?
No, good question.